I'm Carol Off.
Good evening. I'm Tom Allen, sitting in for Barbara Budd. This is As It Happens. Tonight, the city of Fredericton honors renowned ufologist Stanton Friedman with his very own day. As It Happens, the Monday edition, radio that cures what's alien ya.
Yo, Kate, where do you keep your casserole dishes?
Why?
The cat won't fit in the toaster. Never mind, I'll make a peanut butter sandwich. Where's the blender?
Try it without the blender this time. And don't get hair in the peanut butter jar.
Rules, rules, rules.
For many of us, television sitcoms are the only proof that alien life exists. However, we should take this evidence with caution. After all, the creators of ALF, well, they don't have a day named in their honor, do they? Whereas 73-year-old Stanton Friedman does. He is a physicist and a world-renowned ufologist. And after more than 40 years of research, his hometown is honoring his extraterrestrial expertise. Today, the city of Fredericton proclaimed August 27th Stanton Friedman Day. We reached Mr. Friedman at his home.
Mr. Friedman, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Are we going to get a day off work or anything like that?
Well, I'm self-employed, so I'm in busier today than I am most days.
Well, I think we should have a Stanton Friedman holiday.
Sounds like a great idea to me, and there'd be an awful lot of people who'd be grateful for that, I suppose.
We can all promise that we'll just go in our backyards and look for spaceships.
Why not? I've never seen one, but maybe I know lots of people who have.
You've never seen a UFO?
Nope. Sorry about that. I chased neutrons and gamma rays for 14 years. Never saw one of them either.
Space alien?
Never seen an alien. Nope.
So why do you think they exist?
Because there's an enormous amount of evidence, large-scale scientific studies that most people are unaware of, evidence of physical trace cases where saucers are seen on or near the ground and leave behind changes in the ground, multiple witness radar visual sightings, all kinds of data. And I know most people aren't aware of it because I start all my lectures with dealing with five large-scale scientific studies. I show a slide, tell them what's in it, and then ask how many people here have read this. And if I'm lucky, I'll get 2% who've read any of them.
But when you get these people, I mean, people, the eyewitness accounts that come to you, you get the blurry pictures of UFOs and...
I don't use any blurry pictures
of UFOs. So then how do you figure out, which are the ones you consider to be credible examples?
Well, you go to the large-scale scientific studies, that's the place to start. In this Blue Book Special Report 14, they did a quality evaluation of all the sightings, and believe it or not, the better the quality, the more likely to be unexplainable. You go to the experts, Dr. Bruce McAbee, an optical physicist, has looked at a number of the photographs. Sure, he's seen lots of frauds. So what? He's also seen some real ones that are not manipulated. I mean, I only use old pictures because any 14-year-old can make you a great flying saucer picture today with his computer. So you get finicky. I go to archives. I do research. And look, my future son-in-law works at a diamond mine. The ore is worth mining because they get 3.5 carats of diamonds, which will easily fit in your hand, out of 1,000 tons of ore. You got to look for the diamonds. Forget the dross.
What are the diamonds that you've seen? Can you describe any kind of spacecraft you think that actually is what a UFO looks like?
Well, there seem to be several different models. You know, what's a vehicle look like on a highway? Well, are you talking about the semi or are you talking about the Volkswagen? Many reports are of round objects, definite size, shape, surface texture, if you will, without visible external engines, without any wings, without any tails, sometimes with a little fin at the back or what seems to be the back. It's the characteristics as well as the appearance that matter. The ability to go straight up and down, back and forth, make right-angle turns at high speed, typically without noise, without visible external engines, without wings. They're manufactured clearly from what you see. I don't mean lights in the sky now. I don't know what to do with those. But clearly, if we had things that could act like that and look like that, we'd be building them and using them in warfare. That's why governments build new advanced propulsion systems, is to use them in war. We haven't used any of these saucer-like craft in war. Therefore, they were built someplace else other than the Earth. And, you know, when I look at a case like the Betty and Barney Hill abduction, there's a new book out, Captured, the Betty and Barney Hill UFO Experience by myself and Kathleen Martin, Betty's niece. Here's an abduction case from 1961 that was thoroughly investigated. That there was a good book out then, and we've added a lot of new material. And it's very hard to read the book and look at the people, Betty a social worker, Barney active in civil rights, and say that these people are lying when the psychiatrist who did the evaluation, medical hypnosis over a long period of time, separate sessions, found less emotional testimony in many of the military guys he treated for post-traumatic stress syndrome, shell shock war veterans they called it back then, than he found in the case of the Hills. A very exciting case. Or you get a case out in the Yukon where a civil engineer was able to triangulate this huge thing that was seen by over 30 people, and the size comes out someplace between 6/10 of a mile and 1.2 miles long. You know, the front end over the mountain, the back end over the lake, that kind of thing.
What do aliens do when they take us, when they capture us people?
Well, generally what they seem to be doing is gathering specimens, evaluating them, and tossing them back. Catch and release, you might say, if I can put it that way. They study our physiology. They seem to extract some, I'll call it DNA, genetic material, for want of a better word. These guys may all be attending classes. This is their graduate student research on capturing a strange species. Who knows? But they don't seem to be intentionally nasty. And they don't put a gun to your head or a knife to your throat the way we would, I think.
And how come we don't capture any of them? I mean, you say we'd be probably be more violent if we did, but why don't we get any of them?
Well, apparently we have. The Roswell crash involved aliens that were picked up and gathered in, and what we did with them isn't clear at all. They're obviously not here to have tea with Stan Friedman, even in Fredericton on my day.
Because they never come calling at your place.
No, but why people are surprised? You haven't seen one? Why should I be surprised? Why should they be surprised?
And what do they tell you that aliens look like, the ones who have actually had an encounter with aliens?
Well, little guys, big heads, no hair, big eyes, a slit for a mouth, holes for ears, not much of a nose. Your typical, your typical alien from a UFO abduction case. They don't have three arms or five legs. They're not a cross between a giraffe and a zebra. They're humanoid. Two arms, two legs, a head, and a body.
So, August 27th, that's going to be Stanton Friedman Day in Fredericton.
In beautiful Fredericton, the capital of the picture province of New Brunswick.
And how will people celebrate that, do you think?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've been doing interviews all day. I'm going to go before the city council, and they will read me this proclamation. And I will be appropriately amazed and intrigued and excited and humbled. And what a great thing to have happen in my old age.
In your old age of 73.
Yeah, I don't feel that old, but I'm going to have a great grandson next month, so maybe I'll feel old then.
Wonderful. Well, happy Stanton Friedman Day to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stanton Friedman is a physicist and ufologist. We reached him at his home in Fredericton. UFO sightings are common all across Canada, particularly around Waterhand Lake in northern Saskatchewan. Here's one of our favorites from the As It Happens UFO archive. Night watchman Kenny LaPratt describing what he saw just over a year ago, for the record.
They couldn't have been anything else, you know, like a frisbee, two frisbees on top of another, and like a orange in the middle, you know, like, and they were turning at an incredible rate. It was just like you could see the windows turning one way and the ship, the bottom part turning the other way, and something, whatever was on top, it was like glowing really. I don't know what it was, man, but it was beautiful, eh? Like, for me, I've never seen anything like that, and I'll never forget it. They were unreal and hard to explain. They were turning like this, and they had, like, you could actually see inside the, like, inside the thing with the binoculars. I saw them with binoculars very close. I saw them land on the lake right here. And then I was talking to my mom, and the next second they were flying about a meter above the lake, and they were moving at such an incredible rate. When I turned and looked at her, they were already way at that tree line over there, and they all stopped. And they started going up, moving. One would go up, and then another one would come up behind it, and there was... I just panicked. I got scared. I didn't know what to do. I was freaking out. I said, I gotta tell somebody. I called the cops. I told them, there's something flying in the sky. There's something flying in the sky. You guys should send somebody out here to Air Force or somebody, you know, like, because I was scared. And at that moment, as soon as I was done being scared, I was really happy because I know I believe, you know, like, I could never believe it until I saw it.
For the record, that was Kenny LaPrette describing a UFO.
I believe.
Yeah.
I'm convinced.
Absolutely. He was spotted in April of last year at Waterhen Lake, Saskatchewan. Now, I lost a Frisbee in Saskatchewan a while ago. You never know.
Was there an orange attached to it by any chance?
Perhaps. I mean, I really drilled it and it just disappeared, so you never know.
Well, you know, have you ever been abducted by aliens?
Well, not that I know of. But I mean, sometimes you get off at the second floor of the CBC and you don't know what's happening.
I was thinking that when he was describing humanoids with big heads and holes for ears. I think I've seen them around here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that guy.
It sounds very familiar. On any event, believe it or not, that's it for the first part of As It Happens, and we have to disappear. Don't take it too seriously. We haven't been abducted. There's a lot more to come when we return.